Dear Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Diamond Club Baseball has produced elite athletes for 10 years now and is even trusted by your Colorado Rockies to run their scout team program. Diamond Club is based right here in Denver, and their goal is to treat player development just like it's a minor league organization so that your child can be set up for the ultimate success.
Everyone works together to make sure that everyone's getting the proper instruction that they need to help youth athletes grow and to become great ball players yet enjoy the game. That's why I have my son playing with Diamond Club, because it's a great way to really show them they're learning baseball the right way.
That was Sean. As he mentioned, his son plays on a Diamond Club team. They offer multiple summer camps, private lessons, high school teams, and youth competitive teams. Plus, their prices are more affordable than their competition.
Diamond Club has very fair price. You know, when you kind of pay and know that all fees for the tournaments, fields, uniforms, and instruction are taken care of, as well as getting access to some of the things that other programs don't offer, like entire team instruction and fitness programs, you know, the whole package to really make sure that a ball player ends up a well-rounded youth athlete.
Believe us when we tell you that after experiencing the knowledge, positive attitude, work ethic, and fun that their summer camps provide, your child will want to play on one of their teams. Check out DiamondClubBaseball.net today to learn more.
Broncos country is sitting in the south stands, drinking the Coors from Mile High, the best part of the weekend. Hugging a perfect stranger as they become a friend, having a good time when the orange and blue WIN tuning in.
Welcome in to the BSN Broncos podcast presented by Elixinol. It is a Tuesday edition of the BSN Broncos podcast, and Zach Stevens is back with us looking very well fit after a nice jog on the streets of Boulder yesterday.
Ryan, the Broncos aren't back, but I'm back, baby.
You are back. And they'll be back tomorrow as they continue OTAs. And actually, Henry is still here because he's still living at my house, but our third microphone is under repair. So Henry is under strict instructions to raise his hand if he has something to say and wait for the teacher to call on him.
And Ryan, if I understand correctly, I've done one more Boulder than you have.
Yeah.
Aren't you Mr. Boulder? I think I'm taking that title away from you right now.
Running is not a thing that I like.
There's plenty of people walking it. 50,000 people do this.
50,000 people.
So, and what?
That's
27.
More people than have ever played in Major League Baseball. All time combined.
You're 27, so what is that? How many Boulder? There's been 27 in your life times 50,000. We'll take that as a rough estimate of how many people do it a year. That's
what do you got?
And
what do you
not,
got?
You're not even one of those.
Nope. No.
We'll go with just under 1.5 million. No, yesterday I crossed the start line, and I could have been the 1.5 millionth person to do it.
Congrats!
Said my little wave was had that number in it.
Meanwhile, I was watching the Rockies game.
Oh, what a game!
Yeah, I mean, my boy is Tapia. I love Tapia. I was so happy he got that. Also, it was just like, it could have been Desmond or Tapia. It's much better to have it be Tapia.
Come on, not even close.
But there is some Broncos news this morning, as I try to avoid having to talk about not doing the Boulder anymore. And when I woke up, Zach, this is the notification I had on my phone. For immediate release, Tuesday, May 28th, 2019. Broncos Director of Sports Medicine, Steve Greek Antonopoulos, chosen by Bolin family to be owner.
Oh, yeah.
That's the end of the notification on my phone.
Wow, that's some big news.
I was like, this is a Game of Thrones level twist right here. Like, no one expected Greek to be on the throne when it all ended, but there he is. And then I clicked on it, and there's a few more words in the sentence.
Mm.
The rest of the sentence was, chosen by Bolin family to be owner, Pat Bolin's Pro Football Hall of Fame presenter.
Mm, that's a juicy cutoff, though. That is a great tease.
Tease of the year.
That would have had so many clicks.
Exactly, but it wasn't quite the truth. But, jokes aside, what an honor. I mean, maybe I'm wrong here, but I have to assume that he's the first athletic trainer to be a Hall of Fame presenter.
Yes, yeah, he's the second, I believe, to ever do that. Ed?
Maybe I should actually read the email.
I just know this off the top of my head.
Oh, okay.
I'm really
okay.
Good with athletic presenters presenting in the Hall of Fame. Ed Ambrowski did it for Bill Shaw back in the day. And Ryan, what an honor. And this makes sense. This makes sense that Greek gets to do this. He's worked with Pat since Pat bought the Broncos. They worked together for 35 years, and
I think you really butchered that name.
Give me some help.
I think it's Ed Abramowski.
That's what I said, Ryan.
Oh, okay.
That's what I said.
Anyways, back to Greek.
He's been with the team for 43 years. I mean, he's a Bronco more than anyone else, including Pat Bolin. So when Pat joined, the two got along so well. Mr. B would start his day every morning going into Greek's office. And Ryan, we found out last week that every single day Greek was in there at least at 4:30 in the morning. So he's in the build. He's been in the building more than he hasn't in his tenure with the Broncos.
I wonder how many hours he's been in that building.
That's a scary thought.
I mean, they say it's 10,000 hours to become an expert. Malcolm Gladwell says that. Yeah, I know a thing or two. he's got to be at like 100,000 plus.
Oh yeah, you do
more
that
than
math.
That.
You do the math. I did the math earlier.
I don't even know where to start. It's got to be 500,000 hours.
An insane, insane amount. And imagine how many feet he's touched.
That is gross. Why would you say that? Anyways, Greek said, quote, I was overwhelmed with emotion when I was asked to be Mr. Bolin's presenter. I feel very honored and very humbled. It's one of the greatest things I've been asked to do in my life. If you really look at it, it's all about Mr. Bolin. We developed a really neat relationship over the years that he's been here. It's certainly unique. He's not only my boss, but he's my friend. That's what makes it even more of an honor to do this, especially with the request coming from his family.
How cool.
Really cool. Also, this is a weird kind of off-topic thing, but I appreciate that he spoke in the present tense about Mr. Bolin, because a lot of people really like mess that up.
Yeah.
But it kind of shows you how close he is with him, right? Like he is still there. He is still with us. So Greek, really great candidate for this. It's special. It's unique to the Broncos, which I like. You know, not that there's anything wrong with choosing a family member or a coach or whatever. You know, a lot of people choose, but Greek is something special to the Broncos. He is, a rare case of someone who has been an employee forever. You know, he spent his whole career with the Broncos. He's been promoted. Like, he is extremely unique to the Broncos. So it's going to be awesome for Pat to get that, to be introduced by someone who is very clearly orange and blue.
This is mind-blowing. Greek has been with the team for almost 1,000 games. Games.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That really is.
I mean, a season is almost 1% of how long he's been with the team.
Unbelievable.
That's crazy.
How many years total?
44.
44 years.
Yep.
That... I mean, it's truly mind-blowing. Truly mind-blowing. So, happy for him. We were kind of just talking before the podcast about who might be the... who might introduce Champ Bailey. Now we know, of course, who's going to do it for Pat. You have any thoughts on who that may be?
Maybe the guy with the coolest name in the family. Boss Bailey, his brother. That would make sense, wouldn't it? I mean, not just being his brother, but growing up with him, growing up with the game together, both playing in the NFL, both being on the Broncos for a quick minute there, that would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I assume it will be someone in his family just because has very strong ties with his family, and they're kind of always around each other. They were all around there at the Super Bowl when he was introduced. I guess a dark horse candidate could Mike Shanahan be a dark horse candidate?
He could be.
I think that would be one to just maybe keep an eye on as a dark horse. But I bet you're right. It will be Boss or maybe his mom.
Not only it, I mean, talking about Shanahan, not only a guy that coached him and loved him, but a guy that brought him here and that won the trade of the Portis Bailey trade. That would be an interesting one.
Well, we have to get to our daily Chris Harris Jr. talk. And it seems that there's always some small update that allows us to reach back around to this. Yesterday, Henry and I talked about it as if there was progress. The reporting surrounding the situation was that the two sides are slowly working closer and closer to some sort of one-year raise. But then Josina Anderson comes out last night echoing the reporter of our friend Cody Rourke, who has been saying this for a while now, and said there's been no progress. None at all. The two sides aren't even an inch closer than they were when they started. Those two things, Zach, I guess this is obvious to say, but they are exact opposites. Because one of them suggests that something will eventually get done. The other suggests that... and almost is almost a foregone conclusion that nothing will get done.
Ryan, I talked to some people over the weekend and found out that there was progress and it was going that way. So when I heard this news from Josina Anderson, I thought, okay, this is a game of cat and mouse going on. One side saying that there's progress, you know, maybe both sides at a time saying there's progress, but then it gets to this point yesterday when there's been a lot of steam that, oh boy, this is picking up progress. It's going to happen soon. One side, I imagine, steps back and says, whoa, 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 progress. I mean, we're not, we still have a few million dollars we want in our end. Progress. I mean, the Broncos are offering, let's just say, $11 million. Chris is at 13. He says, whoa, we're not close to a deal. I'm not walking away from $2 million. I want that money. So we're still far away. So you put this out. And Ryan, to me, this is just classic negotiations. I mean, this is how it goes. There's progress, then there's no progress. Then there's no progress again, and everyone worries. Then there's progress, no progress, deal done. So this is just part of the process.
The definition of progress. Noun. Forward or onward movement toward a destination. This, if there had been $1 agreed on, that would be progress.
Mm-hmm.
To say there's no progress, and we know which side that came from, is to say that we're at $15 million, they're at $8 million, and we have not moved $1. To me, that seems untrue. How have you talked multiple times, you know? But if it is true, then I can tell you this thing is not getting done. Nothing will get done. I'm of the belief that there is progress. I just don't really understand the motivation of the Chris Harris Jr. camp to say that there's been absolutely no progress.
It's just to show the Broncos, look, we're not budging any more than we have. Or you think you're going to stronghold us now? Well, we're not going to put up with that. And it is interesting. What does the no progress mean? Does no progress mean there's been no progress since when they spoke last Friday and when they were $2 million apart? Or does no progress mean There's been zero progress, and the Broncos are still at, you know, the $8.6 million that he's going to get this year, and Chris Harris is at 15+. I take it as option A, as talks have stalled a little bit. And according to other reports this weekend, talks themselves haven't stalled. Just the amount of money maybe is what's on hold here. I think this is, we got so close to the finish line, and now one side, I think Chris's side, is saying, whoa, yeah, we're close here, but come on. I'm not passing up on hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars, just because you guys are forcing this through. And also, why would Chris sign now? Why would he sign yesterday? Why would he sign today? Why would he sign tomorrow? I'm not showing up to these voluntary things. And if you sign a deal, you're showing up. If I'm Chris, I'm signing next Monday.
Odell Beckham's not showing up, and he's got a deal.
And is that, do we view that in a positive light?
Certainly not. In fact, I think it is the first step in the unraveling of the Browns.
I can see that. Now, to be fair, though, we say, you know, Chris should be there once he signs a deal. I agree with that. Odell Beckham, it looks bad that he has a massive deal and isn't there. What about Tom Brady? He's not there.
So what?
So why does it change?
Is he really, he just didn't show up?
Nope. For, I believe, a second or third straight year, he is not going to any of the OTAs.
What a power move.
And you know what he's doing is he's bringing his teammates to his private facility. It looks like a beautiful backyard or something.
See, in that case,
working out with Julian Edelman.
In that case, I think that's something that's been discussed with the team. And he's like, look, we're going to do this my way.
At me and Alex Guerrero.
Yeah. And, well, if Alex Guerrero's involved, they probably don't love it. But I just think, I don't know. I think it's a little different if the quarterback's bringing his men out there and they're still getting work done. For OBJ, it's just like, dude, come on. Like, everyone there is trying to build something special. Baker Mayfield is trying to lead. You got to build chemistry with him. Like, all this stuff, like, even if it's just simply ceremonial, just do it. Like, you just got to do it because it looks good. And everyone in Cleveland is so excited. And it just kind of puts a damper to me that they're like, oh, great, OBJ's still OBJ.
You know you're going to be dealing with OBJ type of stuff. You want that on the field. You want the crazy celebration that's talked about. And it's a little controversial. You're not fully backing it as a fan of the Browns. But he's celebrating because he scored a touchdown. You don't want this drama happening right now.
Silly. As for Chris, though, you're right. He shouldn't. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he should. Maybe he should sign so he can go get a head start on the defensive playbook before they break for the summer. I guess he'll still have mandatory minicamp next week, which he can go to. But as it stands, I just think, how is Chris Harris Jr., like, how is there a negotiation going on? Still blown away by that. Like, you mentioned, like, he's not going to pass up extra million. I'm like, what do you mean pass up? He's just getting, they're just shoveling money into the back of his pickup truck right now.
The word negotiation makes no sense to me in this progress, in this situation. Ryan, if someone were to say, here's a raise, do you say, oh, wow, thank you. That's awesome. I really appreciate it. Or do you say, you know what? Let's negotiate this. That's really not enough. I'm looking for a couple million more.
I mean, maybe everyone should take that approach and we'd all be making more
money.
What
typically happens?
Typically happens is someone presents you a raise and you say, wow, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I look forward to continuing to work here.
Yep. Especially when we're not talking chump change. His base, the least he's going to get this year if he shows up is $8.6 million.
And that's what's crazy to me, like, the Broncos are like, okay, well, all right, we'll give you $9.6 million. And he's like, nope. They're like, okay, $10.6 million.
And what happens if he turns all of this down, Ryan, and says, nope, and he continues with, nope? You know what happens? Next week, it gets fined nearly six figures for not being there. Then, at the start of the season, he gets fined, what, about $500,000 each year. So not only this is nearly $9 million, not turn into 10 or 11 by taking a raise, it turns into $7.5 million after week one, $7 million after week two. Keep going down the line. And week 10 is about the time when he would have to show up in order to get this season accrued and to be able to hit free agency next year. Let's say he does that and misses 10 games. See ya, $5 million.
Yeah, I feel like Chris is playing with fire.
Nothing's changed since when you and I have had, you know, we've saw the light and realized the Broncos have all the power.
But somehow he's finagled his way into power, which is crazy. But at what point, because at this point, all I can say is John Elway's just trying to do this as like a good PR move. That's all I can come up with. Mm-hmm. Is the only reason the Broncos want to do this and John Elway is to say like, hey, man, we do take care of our players. Look at this. We just gave this guy $5 million for no reason. It's like an expensive PR move. But that's the best reason I can come up with as to why you would want to give him a raise. Other than Henry and I talked about it yesterday, like the team is obviously significantly better with him out there. But you're still going to get him. Like we all agree deep down that you're going to get him. So this is a really expensive PR move. But at what point do you piss off John Elway? And he says, you know what? Never mind. Offer's off the table. Show up or get fined.
Soon.
That's what I think the deadline, you said next Monday. I think that's where it is. If you don't sign by next Monday, I think John Elway's going to take that sheet of paper, pull it right off the table, and say, all right, take your fines. Enjoy that.
And that's since reports say that John and Fred Lyles, Chris's agent, have talked often, I mean, potentially even multiple times a day recently. It's probably there's probably communication about that, and both sides know that. Okay, this deal's out there for a week or until Monday. And again, why would Chris sign it before? Chris is going to try to call John's hand and say, well, hey, buddy, I'm not signing that deal right now, and try to get John to throw an extra $500,000 in there when he knows he doesn't want to show up this week, as Vaughn has said he wouldn't want to either, and then he's just going to sign it Monday. That's if everything is going in this path, that's how I imagine it going. Just some tough negotiations at the end. Because, Ryan, once that deal signed, all this, if there's any ill will between both sides, it'll be gone for this year.
It's just, I think the like not wanting to be there thing is just weird. Like, I would want to be there.
So do you disagree with me?
No, I agree. I don't know. Wouldn't you have FOMO of like, man, I'm going to have so much catching up to do. Or, like, I just want to be there and go hang out with my teammates. I miss the locker room. Like, when I was in eighth grade, we had a volleyball tournament in gym class. And I faked sick from school. And then I realized, oh, my God, the finals and the semifinals are today. So then I went back to school just for the last period so I could play in the volleyball tournament because I had to be there for my team.
And isn't that what Chris is thinking? Is I want to be there for the games. I don't want to be there for math and science and English class earlier in the day.
Fair enough. I just feel like you'd have FOMO. You're just like, man,
I
love the locker room. I want to be there.
I think if you are Brendan Langley and, you know, you're trying to make the team, you're trying to show the teachers that they should put you in the starting volleyball lineup and that you should play, then absolutely, I think you'd be shaken with FOMO. I wouldn't be able to sleep if I was missing out on weeks on weeks on weeks. But Chris, no. And we know Chris is confident in himself. He's probably not worried about picking up this new system.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. Because if something hasn't happened by next Monday, we have to think that that nothing's going to get done. And so then it's going to be the chess game. How long does he go? Will he get fined for every day of training camp he missed? Yeah, he would. Because remember, that's how it was with Carlos Henderson and whoever the heck it was last year.
Yep.
Jimmy something or other.
Yep.
So this could be, I mean, I just feel like Chris is getting bad advice somewhere. Like, this could end up being a situation where he loses a net $8 million.
Here we go. Coming in from Mike.
Henry raised his hand. Let him speak. Let the guy speak.
So I just got the Twitter notification from Mike Kliss that said the Broncos and Chris Harris Jr. are extremely close to a new one-year deal. With final week of OTA starting tomorrow, both sides hoping for agreement today.
Well, thank you for that, Henry.
Also, I was doing some Chris Harris Jr. research, and when he signed his contract at the end of the 2014 season, it made him the 13th highest paid cornerback in the league, tied with Kareem Jackson.
Well, that is a very interesting tidbit. Thank you to our producer, Henry Chisholm, in the behind the glass today. All right, so I guess Chris, he's got FOMO. He wants to be there.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me. Like, he doesn't have to go through the whole program. He didn't have to do the BS workouts that he can do on his own with whoever he wants. But you come in, you get a week to kind of learn things, and then when it goes into veteran minicamp, as if that's any different than OTAs, which it isn't. But when it gets into there, you're at least, you know, settled in, and then you have 2 weeks, which is a lot to me, a lot better than 3 days, and then you're on break.
And if you have any questions, then he can study it on his own during the break. I'm not worried about Chris Harris Jr. If he missed all of preseason and was there for the first week of lead up, and those are the only practices he had before week one against the Raiders, I'd still feel okay with him being a starting cornerback and playing. So the fact that this is likely going to get done and he's going to have a few practices before summer break, all is good.
So if this happens, the no progress people look really misinformed, right?
Less than 24 hours after.
And that's not taking a shot at anyone. It's just...
like I said, that was part of the negotiation process.
Yeah, if you... Agents aren't always going to be the most honest. No, one's going to be honest when it comes to these things. They all want their narrative out there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always a challenge, trying to figure out where these things are going. But hey, let's hope this thing gets done today, and we can finally cross it off the list of things to talk about. And then we can get to important things like Hot Pockets and Alaskan water.
According to Benjamin Albright, Chris Harris Jr. will be flying into Denver this afternoon.
Oh, look at that. We should maybe start tracking PJs from the Houston area. That's private jets for anyone who lives in a subclass. No, I'm just kidding. But I think right here is a good point for us to stop. We had a couple questions come in on the podcast yesterday, but I think because it was a short turnaround, we didn't have quite as many. So we took some from Twitter today. So once we come back from this break, we'll get to the ones on the podcast, and then we'll get to the ones from Twitter.
The Colorado Golf Association is dedicated to preserving, improving, and serving the game of golf here in Colorado. And right now, they're conducting their annual Dream Golf Vacation Raffle. Ed Mate, Executive Director of the Colorado Golf Association, gave us some more info on what exactly you can win if you enter.
We had 6 grand prizes this year and 40-plus other prizes. So the big ticket items, so to speak, or the grand prizes are a trip to the BMW Championship, including VIP access, thanks to our partnership with BMW. We have a trip to Stream Song. We have a trip to Bandon Dunes. We have a trip to Sand Valley. And then we have what I think might be the coolest, a chance to take a 7 Series BMW down to Telluride to play in a CGA-only event. The raffle tickets will go on sale on our website, coloradogolf.org. Tickets are $40, and you know all the proceeds from the raffle are going to support youth development in the state of Colorado. So you're making a great donation to a great cause, but you're also having a chance to really have a fantastic dream golf vacation.
For a chance to win, be sure to go to coloradogolfassociation.org.
Moving on here on the BSN Broncos podcast. And as always, we will start with questions from the subscribers. Even though we did go to Twitter today for a few extra questions, you guys always get priority. And on pretty much every other day, you, as a subscriber, get the exclusive right to comment on the podcast. If you aren't familiar with the process, go and subscribe to bsndenver.com. We have a running deal right now. You can get a year subscription, and included in your year subscription is a free t-shirt. And if you haven't seen the t-shirts, they are sick. So anyways, once you subscribe, you can go to the most recent podcast that is posted on the website and leave your comment there, and we will always get to your comment the next day. And the first one today comes in from Nick Geyer, 813. He says, just became a subscriber again, and I just wanted to say thanks. Looking forward to another year of coverage at the next level. Can't wait for the fantasy draft and all the watch parties. Hopefully in a year when I have to resubscribe again when we have championships to be talking about.
Couple Denver teams got very close to some championships, closer than they have in a long time. Maybe the Broncos will be up that route.
We can only hope, because it'll be a lot of fun if they do go on a run of that nature. So thanks for joining us again, Nick, and we're really happy to have you. Next one here comes in from Lone Star Bronco. He says, hey guys, regarding Joe Dineen, was his injury at Pro Day more of an isolated incident, or is it par for the course? How much time has he missed due to injury in his career? As far as I know, not much. And that's how he was able to compile such big numbers. He was on the field a lot during his career. It was a tweaked hamstring for him at the Pro Day. Those things happen a lot. You saw it happen to my boy Terrell Tanks. You've seen it happen to a lot of players because you're just not, I don't know. I mean, your body is in a different kind of shape when you're just working out. And even though you're testing these sprints as much as you can, it's still kind of dangerous to be doing those dead sprints, which isn't really a football type thing where you see just a lot of guys tweak their hamstring in those things because they're just trying so hard to run as fast as they possibly can. You turn it up to an extra level and you hurt yourself. But injuries have not been a reoccurring theme as far as I'm concerned.
In the past 2 years, they haven't. He played in all 12 games his senior and junior year. In 2016, he only played in 3 games. He had a few injuries there, but like you said, he's not a guy that's had multiple season-ending injuries.
It's not that injuries hurt his draft stock or NFL stock.
Right, exactly.
All right, he goes on and says, next, welcome back to Super Intern and now Super Podcaster, Henry. Glad to have you back as a part of the family. I wondered after seeing the article about Champ the other day, and I'm glad to see my suspicion was correct. Yes, Henry is back with us, working on a story as we speak here on the podcast. We're happy to have him for sure. He says, next, way to be dedicated and put out content on Memorial Day. Was pleasantly surprised when the pod popped up. Yeah. Henry and I were dedicated.
Oh, no. My goodness. How many Thanksgivings have we done, Ryan?
Yeah. No. Zach actually offered to do the pod on a different day that we normally wouldn't have the pod. So he was still dedicated. But
thanks for you guys for taking it.
But Henry and I were bored, so we wanted to talk about the Broncos. he says, the thought of drinking hot water grosses me out. The only thing that comes to mind is bath water. I don't drink anything hot, even hot chocolate. I let it cool before I drink it at room temp.
You know, 7-minute soaks, Ryan?
Yes.
I'm okay with letting hot water just soak in my mouth. You know, if you're in the bathtub,
what?
It's comfortable. I'm not drinking it, though.
That is weird. I was thinking you were going to say, like, you need a nice 7-minute soak of your hot chocolate so it cools down. A little 7-minute resting period.
No, I like my hot chocolate hot.
I'm with Lone Star Bronco. I think for him, it's probably because he lives in Texas and it's always hot. For me, it's just I don't like the way it feels to, like, drink hot liquid.
But do you ever let hot chocolate sit and then it gets that film on the top of it?
It's the best part. No, I'm just
kidding.
No. You never let it sit that long. It just has to go from piping hot to where it, like, burns your mouth to just, like, very warm.
Okay, I'm not saying I like my mouth burned. I mean, you got it. I like it hot.
You like it hot. I like it warm. The only time I will drink something that's, like, really, really hot is if I'm sick. And I feel like somehow that, like, the hot tea is, like, burning the sickness out of my throat.
The coffee samples at Trader Joe's, they always have a coffee sample. 100% of the time burns my mouth. I still never let it cool. And I'm like, oh, no. And you know when you burn your tongue or your mouth, it lasts for, like, 24 hours?
Yep.
I do it every time.
You should. Yeah, that's
I need to learn.
That's that definition of insanity that isn't actually the real definition of insanity that everyone always brings up. But anyways, my grandma used to order her coffee. Like, she would literally tell the people at the restaurant or wherever we're at, like, I want this to be on the verge of boiling. And, like, I'm like, how do you touch that to your lips without being in pain?
Is it just like she's calloused her lips and her tongue?
Maybe. I don't know, but she was always like it would come back like steam just billowing off of it, and she would have a sip and she'd be like, hotter. Just like hand it back. I'm like, oh my god, how could it get
so
me
it's
hotter?
Starbucks it's extra, extra hot.
Like, that just seems dangerous.
It is.
But as we learned yesterday, Henry and I, it definitely keeps the fat from congealing in your stomach of whatever meal you're eating. He says, lastly, nobody used their fullback or paid their fullback quite like the 49ers last year. I think Skangs will continue that, and Jano's lighter, quicker frame will have him pull away in the race. Hashtag Ben Team Jano since the word go.
With you as well. He's going to be used a lot in this system, Ryan.
Not if George Aston has anything to say about it.
And his neck?
His not neck. Although Henry asserts that it's a super neck, while I assert that there is no neck at all.
So what is it then?
Well, we need, you're the tiebreaker.
It's traps.
Yes, exactly. All traps, no neck. I feel like that should be someone's, like...
Because how do you work out your neck to get it that thick?
They're actually... I had a friend's dad who was like... I don't know if I want to call him like an amateur bodybuilder, but he was very into just lifting weights.
I wouldn't call a bodybuilder amateur. You may be getting some bad things.
He had this thing that was like a helmet that you put on your head, but it was like not an actual helmet. It was just like rope. You put it on your head, and then it had chains attached to it, which you hooked the chains onto a weight, and then you just kind of like dip your head and then pull it back, and dip your head and pull it back, and that was how he strengthened his neck.
That sounds like a torture device.
It also sounds like a high risk of injury.
It does.
Like, I feel like if I just turn my neck a little weird, if I'm like backing up, I'm like, oh, did I just tweak something?
Yeah, I'd rather have my traps just take over my neck.
So many shrugs. Just sitting there and just shrugging all day. Which is also one of the more fun exercises to do.
I thought you were going to say it's also one of my favorite songs, to shrug all day.
Shrug all day?
Yeah, I could see it being a song.
A bop, as you would call it?
Exactly.
Moving on here. So it's team no neck?
Yes.
Okay, all right, good. Glad. I'm sorry, Henry. From Threat Level Midnight. He said, Henry just went from the practice squad to the 53-man roster. Let's make him a full-time starter.
There we go.
Yeah. A lot of love for Henry today. He says, am I the only one who buys an abundance of jerseys? I truly enjoy the aspect of buying and switching jerseys throughout any given season. For instance, in 2012, I had DT, Decker, Manning, and a holiday jersey all in rotation throughout the year. The last 3 years, I've slowed to just Miller and DT.
Does Manning ever go out of style? Like, should Threat Level of Midnight have taken Manning out of the rotation?
This is going to be an unpopular take, but I don't think the Manning jersey was ever in style.
Wow. Why?
Because too many people have it. And so it's just like the market is saturated.
So then John Elway, you got to say the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, like, John Elway has a little more swag than Peyton Manning. Like, Peyton Manning being such a dad...
He embraces it so well.
I know. I don't know. It's just like style at its core is about like being unique.
Oh, come on. Peyton's about as unique as there is.
No, but the jersey itself is not unique.
So then Champ, that's not unique.
No, that's fine. I mean, we're talking like 75% of all jerseys in the stadium were Manning during that era.
Okay, fair. I see what you mean. Not just a popular jersey, but the number one.
Right.
So then Vaughn, he certainly holds a majority.
So that leads me to believe that it also has to do with the player themselves. And like Vaughn is cool. So his jersey instantly becomes cool.
So Peyton isn't cool.
Peyton is
I don't understand this
Peyton
disrespect coming in,
Peyton
Ryan.
Peyton isn't cool. Peyton's really good. He's smart. He's funny. But he's not cool.
I think he's like the coolest cat there is, man.
I'll probably get pushback on that.
How funny he is.
He's just such a dad. He's such a dad. I can't get past it. He wears
Ryan.
Dad. He tucks, like, if he was wearing a jersey, he would tuck it into his jeans.
He would. Man, did you see when he was in L.A., I believe, for a playoff game for the Rams, and his son was with him rocking the jersey? Oh, those two look so funny together.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it's not that he's not cool, because... He would seem like a cool person to hang out with. I think it's just that he has no swag.
Next time he offers, you know, to get a beer with you and I, I'll just take the invitation. You can stay at home.
Ryan said you're not chill, so.
He doesn't want to be seen out in public with you.
No, I think it's just that he has no swag because he is cool in his own weird dad way.
Would you like it if he did a Ryan Fitzpatrick with the swag after a game?
Well, he kind of did. He was the OG of that. Remember when they were going to the Super Bowl and he threw on, I think it was Emmanuel's chain.
Mm-hmm. What if he went full, though?
I would love it.
Yeah.
It would have been the coolest thing he ever did.
Yep.
All right. Threat Level Midnight goes on and says, my first ever jersey was a Champ Bailey one, and I continually break it out. I was looking forward to buying another, but I cannot find legitimate ones anywhere. Two questions. Oh, he's talking about a Champ. I think he wants a fresh Champ jersey.
I'm surprised that's hard to find.
Yeah, it should be.
It shouldn't be in the next few months.
Seriously, I wonder if the store will like stock them up or something.
I think I saw them, but maybe I don't know if Threat Level Midnight's looking for like an official one. But I'm pretty sure they had them in the store just last week when we went there to watch practice.
And finally, he says, "Will BSN be releasing any champ-inspired shirts for his induction? I'd grab one in a heartbeat." I don't know. Maybe
gonna have to talk to the. The people in that department.
Yes, we will. We'll have to talk to the merch folks. All right, next one comes in from the legendary Tim E. He says, this may have already been mentioned, but is it possible Elway is waiting to see how the quarterback situation turns out this year before extending Chris? If they find out that Joe is a lemon and Locke is able to step in and to the starting role right away, then they would have a lot more extra money to pay Chris. By paying him this year, they keep the option of extending him open while not having to commit.
You'd probably... no, I don't think so. You're not spending that much money on Joe Flacco if he's the guy next year either. And I don't think... If Chris is in your long-term plans, I don't think whether Joe Flacco pans out or not would be the reason why you sign him up or not.
Yeah, in the end, the chance of Joe Flacco being cut is about 1 in 1,000,000. Like, it would have to be the craziest turn of events where he just folds in training camp, which we know he's not going to do.
So I took this as next year. Like, John's buying himself one more year.
Oh, I think you're right. That actually makes a lot of sense. Because if you were to cut Joe Flacco next year, all of a sudden you have oodles of cap space.
You have oodles of cap space already, though.
As we know, cap space is a myth. But I just think, I don't know, I think maybe it's a lot easier to swallow. Because remember the whole three-player thing?
Yep.
Then all of a sudden you're back under the threshold.
For next year?
For next year. If you took Joe Flacco off the books and you paid Chris Harris $15 million a year, you'd be still under the three players making up 30%, right? Is that what it is?
Right.
And I don't know how much Mike Sullivan subscribes to that theory, but if he does, then all of a sudden you're saying, okay, we can afford another expensive contract.
If Drew's the guy, that's how you win recently, Ryan, is with a rookie quarterback on his rookie contract balling out. It just allows you to do so much. But the Broncos are going to have tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars in cap space next year, regardless of if Joe Flacco is a free agent.
Do you think... the franchise tag is still in play next year?
Be an interesting question for Chris, huh? Because he wants $15 million plus per year. Now, the franchise tag would get him right around there, if not more than that. Now, of course, he wants that $15 million for multiple years. But would he be okay with that for just 1 year? And let's say there is a pay raise that happens today. Let's, I don't know, just say it's 11.1. Gets him to be the highest paid secondary member on the Broncos. Then you tack on 15 next year. $26 million? I mean, it averages to 13. It's probably not exactly what he wants, but will he say no to $15 million? No, it's obviously not his choice.
Yeah, the interesting thing here is it would really be, it would make it so Chris is not getting another big contract. But I guess you could look at it as his big contract was 2 years, $26 million from the Broncos here. But then again, then when he's negotiating again, he's going into his age 32 season. Depending on how he played, maybe he was all pro both years and someone's still willing to buck up. If he declined at all, maybe the Broncos played him a little bit at free safety. Then he's in trouble in terms of getting another big contract. But again, can you hold out at 31? What's your end game?
And miss $15 million? This isn't Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell was 26 years old. I guess is 26 years old when he did that. It'd be completely different. But again, another reason the Broncos have all the power.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't rule the franchise tag out, especially if Chris has a good season.
Or the franchise tag is just a tool the Broncos can use to give themselves even more power over Chris when negotiating a contract next year. They can say, you know, let's just lock in for 3 more years at $13 million a year, or 12 a year,
or 10.
11 a year, or 10, exactly.
All right, next one here is from Vertical Socks. What are horizontal socks?
I was thinking stripes, but I guess that's not.
Oh, maybe he's talking about the vertical striped socks that the Broncos used to wear when they had the brown and orange.
Yeah, so I was on the right track thinking
you were.
Stripes.
But wouldn't that be vertically striped socks?
And we're talking about the mustard and brown, right?
Yes.
Yeah, wouldn't you make a more unique name than Vertical Socks if you're talking about that? Wouldn't you have like mustard and brown vertical striped socks? I don't think that's what he's getting at.
Brown mustard. It's good mustard.
Yeah, it's best mustard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you gotta have some pop in the mustard.
I like the stone ground mustard. You know, the one that has the little seeds in it?
Is that not what we were talking about?
Well, brown mustard is, I think, a similarly concocted mustard.
So where do you group Dijon?
Where, I mean, it's...
Does it have the chunks?
No. Dijon is like a smooth, creamy, off-yellow.
I've had chunky Dijon.
Really?
With the grounds that you're talking about.
I don't know. That wasn't Dijon. That was
It was Dijon with chunks.
Ew, sounds terrible. I don't like you calling them chunks. They're seeds. Chunk sounds like, I don't know, something gross.
That's fun to eat.
It is. Gives it a little more character.
And they're a little slimy. Why do you gotta make it sound gross?
Oh, okay. Anyways, Vertical Socks, who will tell us on the next podcast what his name is about. Said on a recent podcast, you guys raised the question of how the Broncos unring this bell with respect to giving Chris Harris more money while he's under contract. In other words, are other players going to start demanding the same thing? Do you think it's possible that Elway gets an earful from other GMs? I can't imagine any of them want this to become a thing, because then players and teams will start asking for the same thing and arguing the Broncos did it with Chris Harris.
We've seen some trends, or people believe trends were going to start happening in the NFL that haven't turned into trends. One of that was Kirk Cousins with a fully guaranteed contract. Everyone thought, everyone's hosed. What are the Vikings doing? Every GM is going to be furious at the Vikings organization for doing this. Look, it's been a few years, or what, it's been two off seasons now, and no other quarterback has got that type of deal. Now, quarterbacks have topped the money, but that precedent hasn't followed. Antonio Brown, we're going to see if players can just demand everything. This is kind of following under that category of a player, even when they don't have power, getting power. Chris is following the Antonio Brown method. So whereas I guess GMs could point to Pittsburgh and say, what were you doing? Or the Raiders and saying, what were you doing? And so I don't think from other GMs this will fall back on John, but I think Mike Sullivan, the cap guy, and other people may be saying, John, this is an interesting precedent to set, because now, why wouldn't Vaughn do this? Why wouldn't other star players do this? Why wouldn't Emmanuel do this right now or in training camp? And like I said last week, Emmanuel has more power than Chris, because Emmanuel's injured. If Emmanuel sits out a game, I put that in air quotes because he could say he's injured, he's still getting paid. He's not getting fined. Emmanuel,
well, yeah, that Achilles could flare up real quick.
And he said he wants to be 100% before playing in a game. What if he just says he's at 95%? He's at 90%. He has all the power in the world. And remember, before Emmanuel tore his Achilles, after he tore it, but he said, if I didn't tear my Achilles, I'd be asking for a new contract right now.
Yeah, it sets a bad precedent for the teams. So it's a great precedent for the players.
Mm-hmm.
Just walk in and ask for a raise whenever you want, and if you're good enough, you'll get it. Interesting. Let's move on to the Twitter questions, but before we do, I want to tell you about House Lift Colorado. Are you thinking about selling your house, but it's not in tip-top condition? How do you ensure you'll maximize your profit? If your house is in need of an upgrade, House Lift can assist in eliminating all the stress of the remodeling process, all while matching the current trends that buyers most desire. And get this, there are zero upfront costs from you, the homeowner. That's right, you won't pay for any of the upfront costs for the remodel until your house closes. House Lift will handle everything, from the contractors to the design, while managing the costs. Here's what you need to do. Head to their website, houseliftcolorado.com, and check out the incredible remodels they've done for homeowners in the metro area. In past jobs, House Lift has put anywhere from $15,000 to $60,000 more in their clients' pockets. Call 303-885-7888 today to find out what House Lift can do for you. Oh yeah, and if you hire one of their preferred realtors, they'll sell your house without even charging a listing commission. All right, Zach. Well, we gave people the unique opportunity today to chime in with questions from Twitter, so let's hop into those right now. And actually, before we get to that, I actually just got an update here from a source as it relates to Chris Harris Jr. I won't go into too much detail, but this source is insinuating that it's far closer to the no progress side of things than it is to the deal is going to get done today side of things, and that Chris Harris Jr. actually is flying to Denver today, but not because of anything to do with signing a contract.
Oh, the back and forth we've had in what, 34 minutes or something?
Roller coaster, baby. So we'll
great,
see what
great news or great information. Not
thank
great
you.
News.
Yeah, not the best news, but it's so always, I mean, maybe there is, because Kliss is reporting that the two sides are both hopeful that something can get done today. My source is not as optimistic.
Who's not hopeful?
Right. I mean, I guess, but maybe there's some information coming out of Broncos headquarters that they're going to pony up and just do whatever it takes to get Chris in here for tomorrow.
And when you told me that, Ryan, it made me... The first thing I said to you was, take a step back. Is that something John Elway would do? Does that sound like a John Elway move? Just to say, you know what, Chris, you're in town. We want you here next Monday. So let's just have you here tomorrow. Here's a check. Just write the amount. It has your name on it.
Yeah, that doesn't fit the line of thinking, I don't think. We'll see what happens. But I just wanted to give the people the update. Yeah. Chris Harris Jr. is not coming to Denver to... sign a contract,
or at least, that's been agreed upon already, and
right,
all sides are happy.
Exactly. Maybe he is coming to Denver for personal reasons, and maybe in that time he gets a chance to sit down with John Elway and something gets worked out. But it was certainly, according to my source, not as imminent as it was alluded to earlier.
It's never bad to be in the same city as a company you're trying to agree with a deal on, but maybe he's not taking the PJ to Centennial. Maybe he's flying first class on a United flight into DIA.
That's what it seems like to me. But let's get into these Twitter questions. You have the first one there?
Ryan, first one, just straight for you. Coming in from Cody Rourke, he says, why aren't you sponsored by White Claw yet?
Who says I'm not? How do I always have one? How am I always repping the brand? It's just the podcast isn't sponsored by White Claw yet.
Yesterday, up in Boulder, I found what you need to be drinking, Ryan.
I've had that one.
You've had the Wild Basin?
Yep, I have had the Wild
Basin.
I've
never heard or seen a Wild Basin.
You have, because I brought it up on this podcast.
No, I know. But it was that unmemorable.
Yeah. Which flavor did you have?
It was the classic lime.
Did you like it?
Multiple flavors? Oh, it tasted like they all do.
The one I had was like mint basil or something like that.
Oh, I've never heard of a company doing a non-fruit.
Yeah, it was like watermelon basil, something like that.
Mm.
But there was basil involved.
I once had this is a little off topic, but once had a salted watermelon vodka.
Sounds terrible.
It was the worst thing I've probably ever put in my mouth, Ryan. I mean, vodka. How do you make vodka worse?
I don't know. I hate vodka.
Salted. Make it taste like seawater. And that's exactly what this was.
Yeah. I'm a pretty much an equal opportunity drinker with everything except vodka. Do not drink vodka. Period. The worst vodka I ever had was in college. It was whipped cream vodka.
Oh, you bet I've had that one. My girlfriend's favorite in college was UV Blue.
Oh, God.
Pretty much just blue syrup. I had this one that stayed in my freezer for years.
It was most vodkas do for most people.
It was called Kamchatka, and it was about an $8 handle, plastic. And anytime someone would come over, I always had something to offer. And that's why it stayed there so long, as no one took the offer.
It has like Russian artwork on it, on like a gold label.
Yeah. Red and gold.
I thought you were going to say it was like kombucha flavored.
That would have been gone probably in a day.
Oh, man. All right. The next one here comes in from our very own Allie Monroy. And she has sent me a separate text saying that Henry has to answer this too. So this is a reference to The Bachelorette, as I'm sure a high percentage of our listenership also tunes into. Maybe not. But there's a guy on there who was really annoying. His name was Cam. And he said that he always just sticks to his phrase, ABC, always be Cam. And it was really douchey and annoying. And anyways, Allie says, based on ABC, always be Cam, what would each of your acronyms be?
Wait, oh, so this isn't based off our initials?
Yet, no, it just has to have your name in it.
Oh, I'm gonna need a few hours to think about this one.
So yours is just got to end with a Z. But maybe you want to have like a familiar acronym like ABC. You got something for me, Henry?
Yeah, I think maybe I just go with something like Henry is homeless.
Ah, yes.
I don't know.
H-I-H. Henry is homeless. That is a good way to win over the people. I'm going to go with, after my favorite beer, PBR, perpetually being Ryan.
Wow. Okay. Okay. I need to let this brew. I was thrown off topic when I read this.
Allie.
This is the hardest question we've ever had on the pod, Allie.
I just aced it. So, I think
you did pretty well.
Allie stumped the squad. I think I could do better. I think I could do your guys's.
Give me mine, please.
All right.
So it's supposed to be something about me. It's supposed to be a motto. It's supposed to be the way I live my life.
Yeah, exactly. It's a motto based on an acronym.
Help me.
Let's see.
With Z being the last one.
All right, so there's a parentheses in here.
Okay.
But it's A to Z.
Okay.
But then there's a little B in parentheses. Awesome to be Zach.
I love it. I love it.
I'll have to think longer on Henry's, because I can't think of a familiar acronym that has an H in it. He says HGH.
Wow.
And then he said HIV. Wow. Oh, God. Henry is visiting. There we go. Got to raise your hand, Henry. He got it right. Henry is visiting. Goodness gracious. All right. From 719 Sports. Would it have been a disaster if the new Colorado Springs minor league team ended up being the Rocky Mountain Oysters? No, I think that would have been incredible.
Yeah, that would have been fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have a name when you're talking minor leagues that gives it some pop, gives it some juice.
Get some juice out of the Rocky Mountain Oysters.
Exactly.
Here's my only thing is like the logo just needed to be a bull. Or a wait, is it buffalo?
Yeah.
What is it?
Yeah.
It's buffalo.
Yep. What is it, Ryan?
I don't know. Well, then I guess it would just be a buffalo, and that's kind of sad. For some reason, it doesn't make me sad if it's a bull. But if it's a buffalo, I'm kind of sad. All right. No, that should have been the name. What is it now? It's the Rocky Mountain Vibes, which I can get down
with. Yeah, they're going for the young crowd.
Yes, the Vibes. And their logo is a marshmallow that's on fire.
Wow. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Do you burn your marshmallows?
Absolutely.
You have to, right?
You have to.
just a toast isn't enough. It doesn't get enough flavor on
it. It's got to be a 7-minute flame.
Well, that actually goes 7 minute flame. I think like a 7-second flame. You catch it on fire and then you blow it out.
Yeah.
Are you going for like black?
No. Okay. No, I'm going for just more than warm. You know, like I like my hot drinks, I don't just like them warm. I'm surprised you like your marshmallows hot.
I mean, you can't just have them cold. They're not gooey then. And that actually transitions nicely into this next one, which is from PG or at Jedi Goalie. Brats or hot dogs?
Oh, easy. Had this conversation multiple times on this Memorial Day weekend. Brats.
Brats all day.
Yeah.
I think we did this conversation like a year ago. That's when I was talking about street dogs.
Yep. Yeah, it's not saying hot dogs are bad, but I don't understand how you could like a hot dog more than a brat.
Only in the scenario of like a Chicago-style dog instead of just like a regular brat with mustard.
But now let's say you could have a Chicago-style dog, replace it with a brat.
No. Mm-mm. I don't think the flavors would complement each other as well.
You're crazy.
The brat has too much flavor on its own.
You're crazy.
Why would it? Why aren't they making Chicago-style brats?
Because it's just a thing. Just go. It's a Chicago-style dog.
Get out of here. I have recently, especially on the keto diet, been turned on to, not, I guess not turned on to, but started liking the more cheddar brats. Because meat and cheese is pretty much what I eat.
What do you mean recently? How have you not been eating those well, your life?
I always just liked a regular brat, and you know, I like cheddar brat too. But here's the kicker: cheddar brats are much better, in my opinion, or it's easier to eat them with a fork and knife, which is the only way I can eat them because I can't put it on a bun. And so it's you don't have to worry about like the flaming hot cheese in there like spraying out into your mouth while you're trying to take a bite, and that has made me more like them. But the reason I said it's a good transition is, do you like what kind of char are you looking for on your brat? Do you just enough for grill marks, or do you like a nice dark coating around the whole thing?
Boy, this is a food topic I can't believe we haven't talked about. I love char. I love it.
Yep.
I especially with hot dogs char a little better, I guess, a little more intensely than a brat. Just give me char. I mean, on a steak, on corn, if you grill it on there, on hot dogs, on brats. And I was talking with my mom, and she said she doesn't like brats. And I'm like, what do you mean? We eat them all the time. And, you know, after a series of events, she goes, I don't like the way you cook them. I don't like them when they're brown and wrinkly. And I'm like, yep, that's how I love them.
So when I'm really doing it big on brats, here's what I'll do. Take a pot, fill it half water, put maybe 2 Coors Lights in there, or maybe a heavier beer if it's available. Yeah. Old Chubb is Oscar Blues, just like Wild Basin. Not good for drinking, in my opinion.
Probably the worst beer for drinking. But yeah, it is perfect for something
like
this.
Perfect for cooking.
Yep.
You pour it in there, cut an onion, drop it in there, get that boiling, throw the brats in there, boil them, and then chuck them on the grill.
You can't go wrong. And,
so good. And then they get like more plump when you boil them and then you grill them.
I could honestly, not just now, I could have a brat any time of the day.
Well, I've got a pack of 6 in there. Let's throw them on the grill. It's still nice out. It's supposed to rain later, but it's nice right now. Let's throw some brats on the grill. So one thing about brats, when they go on the grill, they start leaking the juice, especially if you boil them.
Yep.
Then it sparks up the flames of the grill, and then you get that full, it's not like a burnt, but the whole brat gets like a nice char around it, not just the grill marks.
So what you're saying is when my brats are on the grill, I should just take some propane and throw it in there to get the flames coming up, right?
I wouldn't recommend that. Maybe take like a beer in like a spray bottle and spray it on there, or maybe even like whiskey.
That would be the best use of either of those liquids.
One last thing on char grill marks. My favorite charred grill marks are if you take chicken and marinate it in something kind of sweet, so maybe there's like some honey in the marinade,
yep.
And then you put it on the grill and the grill marks kind of like caramelize that honey or whatever sweetness was in. Maybe it's like a raspberry chipotle.
Asian sauces are typically sweet.
Yep. Something with sugar in it. And then it gets like crystallized and caramelized in the grill marks.
Probably my favorite food ever is a caramelized onion.
There you go.
Yep. Now, really quick. Now we're on the topic. How do you put your brats and hot dogs? Do you put it so they're like in the cracks long way?
No.
Or you turn them?
Yeah, you got to get the grill marks.
Then you're not maximizing your char.
No, but you get the flame.
You're not maximizing your char.
I mean, you might have to hand it over to Henry, because I made Henry brats twice this weekend.
Yeah, Ryan's been making a lot of brats and some burgers too, some cheeseburgers that were great. Seriously, the best food I've eaten. The best grill food I've eaten. I don't know how he does it. I don't know what spices he put in those burgers. I just saw him over there working it in on the counter. Seriously incredible food.
Okay, wait. But was the char optimized on the brats?
They were pretty charry. I felt pretty good about the brats.
It's because of the...
little bit of hesitation there, I sense. You know, he's being nice to his host.
I would say they were at least 85% charred.
And that's how a normal person, yeah. But give me hundo.
100% charred, huh?
No, I'm not talking black. I'm talking, you know, the right amount of char.
I'm telling you, dude, I'll cook you up a brat right now, and you will say this is the most perfect char I've ever had.
We'll have to. I'm holding you to your word.
By the way, I'll give away a cook's secret here.
Uh-oh.
Henry said he didn't know what spice it is. There's only one spice you need for red meat the rest of your life, and it's Elway's seasoning.
Yep.
The greatest contribution of John Elway to the world was... Elway's seasoning.
Chris Harris may disagree with you in a few hours.
Maybe. But if I was Chris, I would negotiate at least 100 packages of Elway's seasoning into my deal.
A day?
No. Oh. You can't go too much.
Mm.
It's all about the perfect balance.
Mm.
But like, I will not eat red meat. I shouldn't say I won't eat it. If I'm cooking red meat, there will be Elway's seasoning on it.
I've only heard the best things.
So good. All right, next one here is from Cade. He says, what's the worst / weirdest food someone brought to a football viewing party?
Got to rack my brain for this one. A banana. Or multiple bananas.
That seems like it was you who did that.
You know me well. I love my bananas. I have bananas sitting in my car to enjoy on the way home.
What do you
after
mean?
This.
You're just letting it sit in your car in the sun?
It's pretty good temperature out. What, high 50s right now with some sun?
That's optimal
banana sitting, I would imagine. Banana chilling.
Speaking of the weather, there's a storm that came through here last night.
There sure was. Heard your eardrums almost got blown apart.
I thought, like, my apartment is right next to the gym in my apartment, and the gym has, like, floor-to-ceiling windows. Flex.
What's it overlook, Ryan?
It overlooks the great city of Denver, Colorado. But I kid you not, I actually thought, like, wow, I wouldn't be surprised if those windows were shattered.
Wow.
That's how loud the thunder was.
Wow. Was your room just lit up?
The blinds were closed, which actually was a bad thing, because when you see the flash, you know it's coming. I didn't see the flash. And then it sounded like all, you know, the world was ending.
I thought my world was ending last night, too. Hail? I thought it was a higher power pounding on my roof about to come in and get me.
You guys have a dual garage?
What?
At your place.
No.
So your car was out in it.
Oh, yeah.
How's the car?
It's okay.
It's okay. So they weren't too big.
Covered in leaves. I put the windshield wiper on because I couldn't see anything. Just moving all the leaves out.
I mean, so maybe the tree that you were under saved you.
Maybe. Typically bad thing to be under a tree during a storm, right? Could fall on you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it just depends on the severity.
That's wild. Ryan, we're not 10 minutes from each other. And I had this, and I saw lightning. I didn't really hear thunder. That wasn't the loud part. I had the worst hailstorm I've ever been a part of, and you potentially maybe had the worst lightning storm you've ever been a part of.
Yeah, I mean, certainly in the middle of the night. No, the three loudest thunder rolls I've ever heard in my life.
You felt them.
They were in my heart, rattling my organs.
No wonder you're so electric today.
Yeah, I'm fired up. The worst hailstorm I ever saw was that one a couple of years ago that caused like billions of dollars in damage in Denver.
Right, to dealerships.
Yeah, I mean, to dealerships, to people's cars. Like, I was actually looking out this window over here, and it was like, it looked like the end of the world. Like, people were driving their cars just wildly to just get out of it, like... like there's probably like 30 cars under the gas station over there, just all like trying to pile in like in any way, like Tetris style, just anywhere a car could fit. That was crazy. And then going down Spear was like a river of hail balls because it was raining and hailing. And it was just like that was crazy.
This morning, it looked like there had been a snowstorm because of how much hail was still there. It's crazy. And Ryan, we're almost June. When's this good weather coming?
I don't know, man. I was supposed to play golf today. It's all ruined now. All right, next one here is from Nick Scott. He says, I need the backstory with Pleasure Horse. I've been waiting forever for someone to ask, but I've become impatient. How did the intro song happen, etc.?
Mm.
How long ago was that? Over a year ago, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well over a year ago, we reached out on this podcast and said, hey, if you're in a band and you listen to the podcast, we'd love to rep your music on the pod. We need an intro song. We need an outro song. And as it started, we just used it as an outro song, right? And we just played some of their new hits off of their latest EP.
Yep.
We played a couple different ones before we settled in on Lonely on the Weekend as our go-to. Maybe Lonely on the Weekend came a little later as like a single release. I think that's what happened. But then I just went back to the legendary Tim E, as he is known on these web boards, and said, hey, man, what do you think about making a custom BSN Broncos podcast intro? And he was all about it, mastered it himself. It sounds amazing. And we are eternally grateful for the musical prowess of the one Tim Evanson.
It is absolutely fantastic. We're so happy to rep it every day. And Ryan, just like we say with Weinster, you know, they're the BSN of wines. We want to help the BSN of anyone out there. And so we're so happy that we can rock Pleasure Horse.
And, I mean, we love Pleasure Horse. We love Lonely on the Weekend as the outro song. But there's always room for more, and there's always room for a rotation. If you are in a band out there, you guys made some music, send it over to us. We'll work it in.
Exactly. Next one coming in from Anna. She says, well, Ryan, I'll let you take this one. There's some pronunciation in here. I don't want to be culturally off.
I'm not seeing it.
You're not seeing it.
Oh, here we go. Okay. Okay.
You see what I'm saying. He's pronouncing it.
She says, did any of you guys ever eat fajora?
Perfect. Right on.
Here's what it is if you've never heard of it. If you haven't, you must. Did you click the link?
Yeah. It's I was looking at the pictures and I could not make out what it was. It is a Portuguese food and it's a stew with beans with beef and pork. It is commonly prepared in Portugal, Cape Verde, a lot of different places.
Well, look at you with the pronunciation on Verde.
The name comes from feijão, which
means, you're killing it.
Which means beans in Portuguese. And hey, Anna, I'll tell you what. Anything with beans in it, let alone in the name, is right up my alley.
And unfortunately not keto friendly.
Oh, beans?
Can't have beans.
I could live off beans and brats.
Oh, dude, like a nice day on the grill. You use the little burner on the side of the grill to heat up some baked beans.
Yep.
And then you
just
have a brat.
In the can?
Right out of the can.
Yep.
The little bacon bits in it.
Oh, man.
I love those
any type
so
of
much.
Beans. Baked beans. Refried beans, plain beans, any
plain
type of
beans. What are plain beans?
Just plain beans, you know, beans.
Like uncooked. You're just sure. Eating them like peanuts.
I guess not fully plain.
I'm not the biggest fan of refried beans.
Okay.
Love black beans. Black beans are amazing.
Not a pinto guy.
Not a pinto guy.
Mm.
I mean, I can have it. I would never order it on my Chipotle burrito.
Wow. I go with half and half because I love them both.
I go with half and half chicken and steak.
Mm.
But baked beans are unbeatable.
Yeah, they really are. Amazing.
It's because they're so sweet.
Yeah, that's those are definitely not keto friendly.
No, definitely not. All right, well, can we get a? I think I can get a pronunciation on this right here. Let me see.
Oh.
Nope.
I have a pronunciation. I'll send it to you right now, and all I can say is more good luck than you've ever had before pronouncing something. I'm not even kidding you.
Yeah, I'm not even attempting that. I don't even know. What. That's not even a pronunciation guide. Wait, what if
there
I
is
click
a,
it?
There is a backward three on there as part of the pronunciation.
That's a forward three.
That is a forward three.
That still doesn't help us in any way, shape, or form, whatever way it's facing. All right. I got lost here because you skipped to a weird spot.
See, you've been skipping to weird spots for me.
Next one here is from Omar Bargodi, and he says, what are your projected stats for Joe Flacco's upcoming season? Where do you think he's going to strive? Where do you think he will struggle most? By the way, water must be had cold.
Something we can all pretty much agree on. Now, yep. Joe Flacco, where's he going to be stat-wise? Remember last year, the Ravens through, what, four or five games were 100% in the red zone. When they got in the red zone, they were scoring a touchdown 100% of the time. That, at least leading up to the Broncos game, that was what was going on. So Flacco was an ace in the red zone. He was actually doing okay stat-wise last year. Finished the season with 12 touchdowns and 6 interceptions.
So let's just go touchdown, interception, and yards. Oh, and completion percentage. Forget about completion percentage.
Touchdown-interception ratio?
Yep.
1.8-1.
Okay, well, you can actually say, like, the numbers
that
you expect.
Oh, okay. 21, 21 to 12.
Trying to figure out what 1.8 to 1 is. 21 touchdowns, 12 interceptions.
Oh, I'll let you go first.
All right, I'm going to say 25 touchdowns to 15 interceptions and 4,300 yards.
Yeah, I like 4,000 yards.
I mean, Case Keenum hit 4,000 yards last year, right? Didn't he?
I hesitated after saying the 21 touchdowns. That would be the most he's had since 2014. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
That's wild.
It is wild. I still think the way this offense is going to be catered towards Joe Flacco throwing touchdown passes.
That'd be a good thing.
25?
Is nothing.
It's half of what Patrick Mahomes did last year. Half. Half.
Less than half of what Peyton did. Uncool Peyton.
Half of what Mahomes did last year. Like, I feel comfortable saying that he can get half of what Patrick Mahomes did last year.
You'd hope so.
What do you think Mahomes gets? Over under 40.
Slightly over.
Okay. I think that's probably right. That offense is definitely geared towards Mahomes throwing touchdown passes.
Oh, yeah. Especially now.
Yeah. Would you change it if I said Tyreek Hill's not on the team?
No.
Okay.
Because I don't think it's going to run through their running backs.
You're a big Mecole Hardman guy?
Big Mecole Hardman guy.
It's a pretty cool name. It is. At first I was like, it's kind of weird. I've come around on it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is cool.
All right. From Patrick Chiodi. Chiodi. He says, favorite or least favorite food at Mile High?
Do we want to talk about food at Mile High?
Well, one thing you need to know is that we don't ever eat.
Least favorite.
Yeah, you know where I'm going with this. We've already talked about this before. We don't get to eat the regular food. Actually, I did last year. I got to sample it all.
Mm.
What was the best thing I had? The best thing I had was some like Asian bowl thing that I had. It was delicious. It's just like meat and rice and sauce and
Asian sauce,
peanuts.
Yep.
It was delicious. Nothing I had there was bad. There was also this like bacon wrapped cheese dog thing that was amazing. But what we normally eat on Sundays is press box food. What's the best press box food they have?
I love their euros.
You're obsessed with those. I would like them more if they didn't have so much raw onion in them.
That's why I love them.
Nope. They have, they did like fajita tacos once. Those were really good.
Mm-hmm.
But none of that lives up to the story of the worst food in the history. Not only of...
No, yeah, exactly.
This is not the worst thing I've ever had in my high. It is literally the worst thing I've ever tasted in my life.
Yes, it was awful. And to set the scene, was it a late game?
Yep.
Late game.
Pitch blackout. When
we hadn't had food for forever. The game's over. We just came back from talking to players. We're typing out our transcripts. We're starving. We're famished at like 3 a.m. And we open this sandwich.
Actually, the first red flag, you know, the first red flag was when I picked up the sandwich and got a thin film on my fingers.
It's either a really good thing or a really bad thing.
You can go ahead.
And I don't even know how to describe it, Ryan.
I don't either.
I think we came to this decision a few weeks later that it was supposed to be a breakfast sandwich.
Yes, that's what I believe the intended goal was.
At least that's what the meat was supposed to be.
I'm gonna try and describe it based on food we talked about earlier. It's like they took the inside of a brat out of the casing, pounded it into a patty.
Yep.
Put it on a griddle for like 1 second, and then put it in between two pieces of bread. Somehow soaked the bread in cold grease and then put a slice of cheese on it.
There was no sauce. There was no raw onions to help. There was nothing. It was the first time Ryan or I, both of us, just stopped eating it, put it to the side. I think we had to throw it away.
I had 2 bites. I've never regretted anything more than the second bite. I thought maybe something had gone awry in the first bite.
Maybe the complex flavors that needed to come out?
Yeah. Oh, my God. It was severely undercooked.
Yep.
Like I said, greasy, but somehow cold.
Yep. With the chunks that a brat has in them that are good when they're part of the brat, but not supposed to, like, get outside the casing.
Oh, God.
It bad. Was so bad.
Like, they take care of us pretty well.
Yeah.
But... I'm not kidding. It's the worst thing I've ever eaten in my life.
It was terrible.
Far and away.
Also, stay away from the halftime pizza.
The halftime pizza with just a nice coating of flour on the bottom of it.
Exactly.
All right. From Fortress of Comictude podcast. The Fortress of Comictude podcast. Which, listen to that if you're into the Fortress of Comictude, I guess.
Yeah.
They say, you guys have talked a lot about where to get the best food, but I'm wondering, where are the best places for sweets, like shakes or ice cream in Denver?
Oh, boy. There's a lot of good ones. I love ice cream. Bonnie Bray is a classic. Been there forever. Great ice cream.
I mean, if you're going to go for like a Denver staple, it's either that or Little Man, right?
Exactly.
Little Man, is it worth the line? Is the main question I end up asking myself every time I go.
If you're with good company.
Right. One time I went and they had a band playing.
Wow.
And I was like, this makes the time go by.
Oh, yeah.
And then the underrated one, which isn't really underrated because it always has a line too, but it just gets passed over when people are talking about Little Man, is Sweet Cow.
Yep. I love Sweet Cow.
You guys are all welcome for that free advertising. All right. From Jay Park. Love the pod. Been curious. Will Munchak work with Noah Fant or the other tight ends on his blocking? Yes. And that's already happened.
Yep.
And... everyone is raving about Mike Munchak. Like, I think I expected that, but I mean, any chance anyone gets, they're telling you how good of a teacher Mike Munchak is.
It's probably a total bias because I know these guys are both great coaches, but during practice, when I watch Mike and Chris Cooper work with these guys, it does seem like something extra special is going on with that coaching.
It really does. All right, we got to move quickly here because I got to go meet Greek.
All right, Matthew Johnson comes in, or Johansson comes in and says, there have been plenty of articles about Will Parks making a big leap this year, but from what I've been hearing, is he not getting much play with the first team? How's he looking? What do you expect from him this year? Third string? Any improvement from Sua?
I mean, it feels like we talk about this every day, but he's not getting any love from the coaching staff, and he's not running with the ones.
No. No, I mean, he's a fill-in type of guy so far. And Vic Fangio, Ed Donatell, has still not said his name once.
Very odd. Very odd. All right, from Diesel 2920. I've heard rumblings that certain people have asked for sour cream on their Mexican pizza at Taco Bell, and that this Mexican pizza supreme would change my life. I'm skeptical, he says.
So it's like instead of cream cheese, it's sour cream.
Well, have you had the Mexican pizza at Taco Bell?
Oh,
at
Taco Bell? Yes. I was thinking Pizza Hut.
Oh, no.
Because we said pizza.
Yeah, no.
Okay, so what is this creation?
Well, as one thing we know about Taco Bell is that the ingredients are all the same always. And so this is just a different iteration of the main ingredients of Taco Bell, which are tortilla-like substance,
yep.
Which in this case they're tostadas, cheese, and taco meat. And then, you know, you get the tomatoes and the lettuce and all that on there.
Yep.
So I can only imagine that adding sour cream to this would make it better.
How is this not a tostada?
It is a tostada. But it's a Mexican pizza. It comes in slices, like a pizza.
So I'm sure it tastes good.
Like everything at Taco Bell.
Exactly.
It's all the same things.
Exactly.
And they all taste great. So yeah, I think the Mexican Pizza Supreme would change your life. You'd just be like, oh, this is another good iteration of the four ingredients of Taco Bell.
To be honest, Ryan, I have no idea where we are with these questions.
All right, well, I'll keep reading them. Next one's from Preston Epley. He says, I know you guys have talked about it a little bit, but do you think, why is everyone talking about Trevor Siemian this week?
I love
you
me some
Trev talk. You missed it yesterday.
Talk.
Someone was like, can we all agree that Trevor Siemian could have been a great quarterback?
Wow, and didn't we have similar comment last week?
And I just said, like, you're lucky, you missed out. You shouldn't have asked this the one day that Zach was gone, because he agreed with you. I will not.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
Okay, he says, I know you guys have talked about it a little bit, but do you think Trevor Siemian would have done better under a different coach? His 2016 season, 18-10 and over 18 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, over 3,000 yards, looked very promising. He only went downhill when Joseph came to town.
Was Trevor ever going to get a shot to be the guy and have no competition around him? Only if someone would have got injured. If he would have gone to Minnesota, not even then. Because if Kirk Cousins gets injured, he comes in, plays lights out. They're paying Kirk Cousins $30 million this year.
You're asking the question the wrong way. It's not about whether he had the opportunity. It's did he have the talent? And I think the answer is no, so it doesn't matter.
He could have thrived, Ryan.
I think if Kubiak would have stayed, he would have been better, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he 18-10, 3,000 yards, I think was near his ceiling. Not at his ceiling, but near it. I'm thinking he could have, you know, had 24-12 with 4,000 yards. But, I mean, that would have been solid, and then it would have been good. I just don't think he had the killer instinct, and that is what killed it for me.
We'll see the type of 15-year career he has as a Jets starting quarterback once Sam Darnold gets injured this year and he comes in and runs away with it.
How rude. I hope Sam Darnold has a great season.
I do too.
Although, I'm kind of, I don't want him to get injured. I just want the Jets to implode in a massive fire.
They're already doing that, right?
I know. It's great. I love watching these big market teams who get all the media coverage just blow it.
Speaking of guys not coming to OTAs, isn't Le'Veon Bell not showing up to some of them?
Ugh. I don't know. Probably.
Just a Steeler thing, I guess.
Okay. Do you see any that we haven't read? Oh, yeah. There actually is one here. Wait. Where'd it go? The question is, which British American Football League team has the best name? You're going to have to open the link there.
Holy cow. Did you look at these names?
It is the BAFANL.
Okay.
Which I don't know. It doesn't even tell me what the acronym means. British American Football Association National Leagues.
Who knew there were so many teams?
Okay. Wait. Okay. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Holy cow.
All right. Let's roll through them.
So,
you got the Halton Spartans.
The Manchester Titans.
The West Coast Trojans, which we already have that in America.
Leicester? I don't know.
Leicester.
Leicester. Leicester.
Come on. You don't remember Leicester City in the Premier League?
No, definitely not. The Leicester Falcons.
It's like one of the greatest sports stories of all time.
That would be L-E-S-T-E-R if we're going Leicester.
Well, it's pronounced Leicester, and Leicester City won the Premiership. And it was like one of the longest odds of anything ever.
Of course.
How did you miss that, dude? That was like 2 years ago, right, Henry? 2 years ago?
Oh, yeah. All right. I was like, yeah, of course, Ryan.
No, he knows. Me and Henry have been gaming FIFA all weekend. I beat you with Leicester. He beat me with Leicester. That's true.
Of course, Leicester. Falcons.
You got the Yorkshire Rams. Well, they're the Rams, so they automatically lose.
The Black Country Vipers. I get that one right, Ryan?
You did. Uh-oh, I might mess one up. Edinburgh?
Nope,
Edinburgh?
Edinburgh. Edinburgh.
Edinburgh?
Edinburgh. There we go. All
right, we missed one there. The Wolves. I like Wolves. So
the North Lumber Vikings.
The North... It's Northumberland.
What did I say?
You said North Lumber.
That's right. That's right, too.
Okay, we got the Nottingham Caesars.
The London Olympians.
The London Blitz.
London, actually, is how it's pronounced, right?
Okay.
The East Kilbride Pirates.
The London Warriors. They have three teams in London?
Apparently, and we're not even through this list. The Farnham Knights.
The Gateshead Senators. That's a pretty good one.
Tamworth Phoenix.
The Glasgow Tigers.
South Wales Warriors.
The Sandwell Steelers.
Oos Valley Eagles.
I'm glad you got stuck with that one. The Oxford Saints.
Clyde Valley Blackhawks.
And finally, the Ipswich Cardinals.
I'm going with the last one.
You like
No, actually, that's you. You got to go with the Cardinals.
No, I'm going with the Gateshead Senators.
Ooh, yeah. That's a pretty good one. And since we're a football podcast, I'll go with the London Blitz.
That one's pretty sick.
Mm-hmm.
The Gateshead Senators, their stadium capacity, 1,000 people. I'm pretty sure my high school stadium held more than that.
Talk about the Ipswich Cardinals at 400.
Like a high school gym holds more than that. How is it possible? How is it possible to have a 100-yard long field that only has a capacity? You could put 400 people just standing on the sidelines.
And in the same league, have one that's 13,000.
We need an investigation into the Ipswich Cardinal Stadium. I just imagine there's this huge 100-yard field and just two bleachers. I'm on here. I'm not seeing any stadium pics.
I'm sure there's not very many pictures.
They've been around since 1986.
Wow.
Their stadium is called the Northgate International Sports Center, which kind of sounds like it's indoors, and that could make this make sense.
And it also sounds like that's where a bunch of rec leagues are held.
Yes. They play right after the 50 and up men's league. No disrespect to any Ipswich Cardinals fans. Oh, we've got a picture here. Oh, and there it is. It's just one bleacher.
Yep.
That's amazing. Shout out to Ipswich and the Cardinals.
Wow.
I do love my Cardinals. So maybe they're my second team after the Gateshead Senators. Okay, I think we've reached the finish line.
I think that's it.
All right, that's good because I really have to leave. We appreciate you guys for listening. And we will check back in with you tomorrow when the Broncos are, in fact, back once again. Have a good day, and we'll talk to you later. Waiting up for you, 'cause I could have just as easily left by now. What makes me return is what I need you to do, 'cause something you gave me just made me feel all mine.
Hey guys, it's Allie and Lindsay here, and we want to talk to you about our new favorite wine subscription.
It is Winestr. The best thing about Winestr is that they work with small wineries.
You know BSN loves supporting small local businesses, and Winestr is just that, supporting real people making real wine.
These guys will curate a hand-picked shipment for you from the best small wine producers in the U.S.
So my favorite part about Winestr is the fact that
I don't really know much about wine, and when I go to a liquor store, I tend to gravitate towards the same wine I've always had instead of trying something new. But with Weinster, they make the process so easy.
That's exactly right, Allie. And from my perspective, you guys, I love wine and have tried so many different types of wine at different price points. And Weinster is not only easy, but it is quite literally some of the best wine I've ever tasted, and it makes for an amazing gift.
What's also ideal about Weinster is that you can pick your shipments based on your schedule.
That's right, Allie. So whether you're a casual drinker or you love hosting parties, you can get your shipment based on your lifestyle. So head to their website today, you guys. That's W-I-N-E-S-T-Y-R, Weinster.com. We've got BSN25 promo code for you, and you can save $25 off your first order.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.